Welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, December 30th, 2017. It is the final show of the year. This is Season 11. We only made it to 48 episodes from all the time I wasn't here and trying to stretch the soup to get to our 500th, because this is episode number 498. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Matt.
Welcome everyone to the show. Sarah, if you're going to keep doing this.
Yes.
You're going to have to keep doing this.
I just have to be a regular now?
Yeah, you're going to keep showing up. You're going to have to keep showing up.
Okay.
I'm totally fine with that. I don't know that you are making that drive every Saturday. Sometimes it's tough to make the drive from Prattville to here every Saturday.
Especially with the
Or from Montgomery.
No, if it was in Montgomery, it'd be a little bit. I think it'd be different. I don't know. It might not be because I come here.
I come here five days
a week already. You know,
my heart bleeds for you, Matt.
I know. It's like, oh God, I live in East Montgomery. I gotta drive all the way over here.
Well, welcome to the show, everybody. Sarah is joining us for our last show of 2017. It is episode number 498. In fact, you can see from this little board. Let me just do my thing. That it is episode 498.
Clack, clack.
Yep. We'll do $4.99 next weekend, and then we'll have a weekend off again while I'm in San Antonio for PAX South. And then we'll be back for our 500th episode that we've done. So understand, though, you're thinking, well, 500 episodes is not really that much when you put it in perspective of shows that are on the station 5 days a week. This is a show that is on 1 day a week. So to pull out 500 episodes doing a show once a week is rather, some would say, disheartening. to know that you've done this for 500 times once a week.
I'm wondering how many of those close to 500 episodes have that opening music of Crackdown.
Since we started in 20, back on the radio, in 2013?
What did we do before that? Didn't we have Crackdown before that?
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, we started doing stupid openings, like, early on. I don't know what we did for the first thing that we opened up with. I know in the two times that we brought this show to the radio, the very first time we ever brought the show to the radio, I grabbed all the startup sounds of all the consoles.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that.
At the time.
Yeah.
And had those kind of intro us in. And then when we came back on the air to the radio, I grabbed all the stuff, and then we used Leroy Jenkins at that time too. But then when we came back on the air, I grabbed all the opening sounds of the consoles and included the new ones as well. Did that again, but we dropped the Leroy Jenkins. We used to run stupid, you know, I used to run old advertisements from, like, Nintendo and things like that. And
yeah.
A couple of the sites out there would do a bunch of parody songs or parody things and whatever. And I used to steal those blatantly and air them and have them open the show with the Leroy Jenkins at the end and then go into it. But no, we dropped all that stuff.
We should do a Leroy callback for the 500th.
Well, I did on the 300th.
He did.
Yeah. On the 300th episode opening, it does all this stuff, and then it does the Leroy at the end of it, just to kind of call back to that. For the 500th, though, I haven't built any kind of special thing, any kind of special opening or anything like that. I haven't I don't have anything in there in the works. Basically, I'm just focusing on the people who have been a part of the show. Not the people that we've had on the show, just the people who have been a part of it.
Or
so
for the 500th episode, we could just do like a repeat of like This American Life. Like do some NPR, really mess with people.
No, we'd get we'd have problems there. We don't own the content. So it wouldn't be able to work, Matt. No, I you know, we've talked to Kevin. Kevin's going to make a drive over.
I'm glad. Yay.
He is, while you haven't heard him, he is an integral part of the group. And I want Jeremy and I want Daniel to show up. I want Nate said he's got the time off, so he's going to be here for it. James is out of town, but he's going to try and call in. The other Daniel, Auchinpaw.
Dennis and Daniel.
Yeah, there's Dennis and then there's Daniel. But Dennis, I want to have here.
Me too.
Daniel is not only out of town, he lives across the country in Seattle. So I want to have, and I need to reach out to him, have him call in as well, because he was on the show for a while too. So I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. I can't. That's pretty much the crew right there as far as getting everybody on. So I'd really like to have them on for that episode. I'd like to set up a camera in the back of the room that has a nice wide shot of the whole place, because we're not going to fit everybody into one single square.
No.
Of the
not
of,
comfortably
of our Brady Bunch configuration that we got going on. So yeah, that's the plan, and you know how plans go. They usually don't go as planned. So anyway, welcome to the show. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228, 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net. For all the links to get in touch with us, you can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can find us on Facebook, same place there. You can email us, everyone at InGameChat.net, and we will answer those emails on the air or just get them right back to you when you send them.
What if they want to look at us?
Well, they can go to, you probably don't, but.
Oh, come on. You can see my like nice beard that I had to get rid of in a day or two.
You can watch us if you want to. You can go to twitch.tv, and that is where we are streaming right now on video. Go to twitch.tv and type in in-game chat. Or the easiest thing to do is just go to ingamechat.net and click on our Twitch link. That is the best way
easy
to get to us. You can find us there. We've got a chat room set up that apparently we are the only ones in right now.
Well, I do like talking to the company in the chat room.
Is anybody else in there? Let me look. Let me do the viewer list. Raspy Salamander is hanging out, but that is it. Wow. You take one weekend off for Christmas.
Everyone forgets you.
And people... This is a real problem that YouTubers have, man.
Yeah.
YouTubers can't take breaks.
Yeah.
That subscription list drops dramatically when you don't have something there at the time you're supposed to have something
there.
It's
all about the content and schedule.
Yeah. It's amazing how quick they will leave you.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, nope, you got nothing here. I guess you're done.
Webcomics were like that, too.
Yeah. People are
back
fickle.
In their heyday.
Let me... Had to adjust the microphone.
Yeah.
I was at a thing yesterday, and somebody came up to me and talked about other aspects of what I do here at the radio station, but also brought up this show.
Mm-hmm.
And... totally specifically mentioned the tux that I have to get.
So that means they listen. That's good.
Yeah. It's actually one of the owners over there, Chris's Hot Dogs.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Who listens to the show and enjoys the show. So
we go. That's close enough for lunch that we go there on occasion for lunch. Because, like, you know, the base that I'm at, like, there's not much around
mm-hmm.
as far, unless you want, like, just fast food.
Right.
But downtown's close enough that, yeah, we'll go to Chris's Hot Dogs.
Yeah, I had Chris's Hot Dogs yesterday for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
I think there was some kind of city event going on where they had some, where they were out for that, and I grabbed one there. But
nice.
It had been a while.
I mean, so. What, they've been here for, what, 100 years?
Yep.
That's insane.
It's been literally more than a decade since I've been.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
God, I missed it. I was like, open up.
It's one of those things, like, I don't think about that often, but, like, when you remember there, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're there.
That's fantastic.
The only place I ate downtown was Scott Street's Deli.
Lex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyways, enough. But,
local Bama flavor.
Yeah. So, they mentioned the tux, huh?
Yeah, I gotta do the tux.
Well, I have a suit. And you said what, red tie?
Yes.
Okay. So, I have a suit. What about you, RJ?
Suit.
Nice.
Look at that. We're all going to. By the way, anybody who's listening to this who I've invited to come on the show, Jeremy, Dennis, and Nate, and Kevin, you don't have to dress up for this. If you don't have clothes for the whatever, don't worry about it. I still want you here.
If you don't have clothes,
I'm just saying. You don't want to get all spiffy and stuff. That is perfectly fine. I made a stupid comment on our 300th episode.
Yep.
That
we're holding you to
that
it.
I held you to it.
That has been held to. And well, I kind of held myself to it. I didn't really think about backing out from it.
No.
There were a few times when I thought, I'm not going to worry about it. And I was like, I'm going to let's do that. What, I mean, how often you get 500 shows under your belt as far as once a week, 500 shows. So, yeah. So I got to do that. And
see, I'm not going to do the whole dress. I'm not going to do the whole tux thing, but I have a nice black suit.
That's fine. Mm-hmm.
I'm getting my hair did.
None of you have to do it. By the way,
I think I might do a mohawk.
It's totally fine that you're doing it, and I'm grateful that you are, but there is no mandatory, like, there's no mandate.
Oh, no, there's peer pressure now.
Not from me.
Scott. I'm not saying from you.
Yeah. Yeah. Scott, we want to.
That's totally fine.
There you go.
That's you want to.
Yeah.
Him, I don't know.
Oh, no, yeah, a chance to dress up.
I was just trying to figure out.
It seems like you're cracking the whip a little bit here. So.
No, no. I was just trying to figure out, like, what to dress up as, you know.
A man?
A person?
No, but like,
a
you know.
A gentleman?
Like, you know, like, what aspect? You know, like, just a nice suit or, you know, like RJ said, do I come in armor?
Yeah, it was like
when
he said,
a stormtrooper
when he
helmet.
Said suit, I'm thinking, is he going to, like, a nice dress suit or is he going to have a stormtrooper suit?
Yeah.
So, which
or,
one is
you know, I could
well,
do, like,
he can't sit down in the stormtrooper no, suit, not, so. No.
Literally, you cannot sit no. down in that thing.
I haven't modified it
You have
it
to
yet?
Modify no, it, yeah. the back.
Here's
and the
way.
Front.
And the front. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the way I equate it. And I equate it this way because, I don't know. I have no idea why I equate it this way. But if you watch wrestling pay-per-views,
okay,
the only times they're in a tux is for WrestleMania, which they consider like their big...
Yeah, the big yeah. pay-per-view
their big
show
Super Bowl
stopper.
Thing, right?
It's their number yeah. one event, yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, we all, you know, bum it up for all the regular shows. Figure out 500th.
Yeah.
We look nice. For nobody in particular, because it's a radio show, for God's sake.
So, I usually look nice.
So, RJ.
Oh, you look fantastic. See, you're not. Yeah, yeah no.
Now, we're bums.
You outshine us all when you show up.
Yeah. So, the thing about Stormtrooper armor is the torso plate
right.
that also goes into the codpiece is all one piece, you know, that you have the little ammo belt around. Yeah. So, you have, like, the chest piece and then the torso piece. What a lot of people in the 501st do to modify it is they'll cut it in half right where the ammo belt is. That
put a
have
hinge
a,
or something?
Yeah, yeah. And like, you know, sort of hinge it together. Mm-hmm. Or through
so
the,
it allows flexibility.
So, yeah, exactly, so you can actually sit down. Yeah. If mm-hmm. not, yeah, you cannot sit down in that thing.
Goodness.
You can sort of lean against things,
yeah.
you know, but that's about more that you'll do. Plus, mm-hmm. also the way that the leg armor is, it's also tough to maneuver and sit and... be comfortable.
So it's a bunch of hinging all over the place if you want to modify yeah. it to sit down.
Okay. Yeah. And then you also have the big old thermal detonator in the back right in your, you know, kidney plate. And yeah, I mean.
I would avoid doing the cosplay for that one.
Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah. But like, you know, like I also have like my mess dress, my class A's and everything for military. But I'm like, this isn't a military event, so why would I do that?
No, not a military yeah. event at
but
all.
It looks nice to show off my nice little ribbon rack and all my accoutrement.
I just never get a chance to dress up, so.
Same here.
Well, you do whatever you need to do. That's all.
Oh, yeah. No,
do
no,
whatever
no,
you I, want to do.
I have a nice suit that I got when I was in Korea.
Do whatever Sarah tells you to do. I'll put it that way and leave it alone. Hey, we've been away for 2 weeks and...
Something happened, I guess?
Not a lot. Okay. Honestly, not a lot. As far as gaming is concerned, there were some big stories, so, I guess, that happened just recently, but...
Do we want to talk about that swatting incident?
Well, there was a swatting incident, and it happened last night or night before
the night
last.
Before last.
It was the night before last that it happened, but they
in
made an
Wichita.
Arrest. They made an arrest last night, but it was a swatting
Should
event.
We
swatting
what
is
that
a
is?
Thing. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say swatting is a thing that really I only took notice of recently once the whole Twitch stream gamer type thing started happening. People who were live streaming
mm-hmm.
their gaming on Twitch. Their opponents would, their opponents would find their channel where they were streaming from, find some information out, get some information, whatever, by watching them, and then would call the police and report a hostage situation or any kind of
shots fired,
very massive threat,
yes,
to that person's address, which would send a SWAT team out to them and bust in into the house and bust into the room and just cause all sorts of chaos. This is over a game, and this one specifically last night happened
Call
over a $1.25 or $1.50 bet that happened in the game or while they were playing the game.
I think it was Call of Duty.
Oh no, it was Call of Duty when it was happening. Regardless of the game, it doesn't matter because it's happened in other games.
Yeah, the game doesn't matter. It's just the fact that someone's on stream and can be seen and they can have influence in messing it up for everybody.
But it was two guys got into an argument over a bet that was like $1.50. Seriously, $1.50. And the guy threatened to do a SWAT on him, and the other guy said, fine, do it. Gave him an address, and it was... It wasn't a random address. I don't think you can just really pull up a random address, but he randomly found an address. Put it that way. He didn't just pop out some numbers in a street name, you know, randomly. He randomly found an address, gave that address out to this guy. The guy then called police, called authorities out to that house.
Mm-hmm. This whole story that was really horrendous.
It was a completely random thing. So these people who were at their home enjoying their Friday night, or it was Saturday, Thursday night, I guess,
Yes.
Enjoying their Thursday night, I guess, doing whatever. There is commotion outside of their house. And it wasn't like they were right out in their driveway. They were a good few yards away from the house. This is kind of like a farmhouse type thing where it didn't have like a specific driveway. If they were basically across the street from this place and had their lights, their spotlights on and everything else and having a commotion. And the guy notices this who's in the house and is like, I wonder what's going on out here. Mm-hmm. And as he opens the door and steps outside, he raises his hand, I guess, to block the light that was coming in or whatever. And the police shot him. Obviously couldn't see what was going on. A 7-year veteran of the force shot him. He is now on paid administrative leave until an investigation occurs. But
the guy was 28 and killed.
Yeah. So then they try to figure out who this guy is, and they can't, and they're trying to go through and whatever. And eventually they do find...
They sort of piece it together?
They do piece it together. This guy apparently laid claims to doing bomb threats at some other places. Apparently he claimed to do the bomb threat on the FCC the other couple weeks back when they were doing the net neutrality vote.
Yeah.
And there was a bomb threat.
So the guy that they shot...
No. The guy they shot was some random man.
Oh, okay. So the guy that called it in, he's the one that...
The guy that called it in claims responsibility for that. That's not necessarily he actually did it. He claims responsibility for it. Regardless, he was the guy that called in that one that night that got the guy killed, and they've made that arrest.
Good.
So he is,
He should be charged with, murder.
I believe he's getting that thrown at him. I believe that's what's happening. This took place in Kansas.
Yeah. Swatting was a... became a bigger thing during the height of the Gamergate stuff.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of people got doxxed and swatted.
Yeah. Dox is just when your internet dies, right?
No, that's when they find your personal information and post it online for anybody to have access to.
So they have access to your house,
your
phone number.
Oh, I'm thinking of DDoS, I guess. Yeah. I'm thinking of a DDoS.
Yeah, that's
I'm
a denial of service.
Yeah.
No, dox is I find out where RJ's home address is, his phone numbers, his parents' house, his... like all the information, and so everybody has it, and they start calling in a cell phone and harass people. It's the worst.
Anyway, it's a horrible environment that exists. I hate that it does. I rarely stream, Kevin streams a lot.
He does, and I stream with him.
But not necessarily into much competitive type play.
No, it's just the two of us being stupid.
Yeah, we do. We stream other things. We don't really stream
just the two of
things.
Us being terrible in video games. That's
and I'm not saying that swatting is rare.
No, it's like couple hundred last year.
Yeah, I mean it does happen. I don't know of anyone that it's ever happened to, but I've read about it happening, and it's only a matter of time, I guess.
It's good to have awareness of it. I think it's starting to more people starting to realize. Yeah. My parents didn't know what it was, and I had to tell them, and oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, then it becomes a question of how do you prevent this?
Don't go online.
Well,
maybe if it's one thing Gamergate taught me. Don't be a person online.
Well,
I don't know. People find new and terrible ways to be people.
Right.
Yeah. How's the police going to verify that this is fake or not? They have, right. to, they have to go out there.
They have to treat it like it's real.
It's like lesser two evils. Do I treat this as fake or is it something actually happened?
Well, in one situation, okay, that's fine. In one situation, I would say that, so they went out to this guy's house in Kansas and you'd think they would have tried to make communication with someone inside the house.
Yeah.
Either by yelling it over the loudspeaker or calling the number.
Yeah.
To the house, getting some way of getting a communication.
Some kind of positive ID.
And I don't know about positive ID, but at least.
Or just some of the situation, not necessarily mm-hmm. the person, but like a positive ID of the situation.
Right,
and
yeah,
awareness.
Something like that.
I mean, I personally have issues with the militarization of the police force that, you know, been happening over the past couple of decades. That's a whole other story. I think it's a terrible thing, and we don't need it. But, you know, I how do you, like you said, how do you prevent this? Mm-hmm. When you have, you know, people with itchy trigger fingers and, you know, this sense of, like, you know, not saying all of them are this way, but, you know, I've known plenty of police officers that, you know, want to be John McClane, you know, kicking down Nakatomi Tower, you know, shooting some terrorists. Just like I've known plenty of military people that want to be marching into Berlin, you know, punching Hitler in the nose. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be that guy, you know? We need more level-headed people and positions of power, especially with, you know, stuff like this. But, I mean, how do you stop people from being jerks on the internet? I don't know that answer.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what it boils down to is,
yeah, know, not a lot of real consequence of being,
yeah, it's the anonymity.
Well, there
the
is,
internet.
Though. There is consequence of
starting
that.
Starting to, but, like, people,
yeah, this guy just got arrested for it and is now being charged with murder. So, I think the more, the less we can get, people dying from this, and the more we can get people arrested from this,
mm-hmm.
I think the better it does to subvert that action. Because a lot of these people, how old was the kid that got arrested? 25?
Something like
22?
That.
22? Something like that?
Young.
In his 20s? 20s. Early 20s?
But, like, you know, how many younger kids, like, you know, teenagers, you know, have you known that have no sense of
25.
Consequence?
He's 25. Tyler Barris, 25.
Yeah. They think that just because they're on the internet, there's no consequence for their action. I've known way too many young people.
He was taken in by the Los Angeles Police Department for a swatting event that took place in Wichita, Kansas. Yeah, I'm reading the whole story now so I can make sure that this is.
Is the other guy facing anything for giving out that address?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Hmm.
Wichita's 9/11 dispatch was called Thursday by someone claiming to have shot his father dead in an argument with his parents. The caller said he still had his weapon and was holding his mother and younger brother hostage. The caller also threatened to douse the home with gasoline and light it. He gave the address of the home twice.
I just got the HuffPo alert from it.
Wichita police responding confronted, the 28-year-old who died. He was ordered to raise his hands but move them to his waist. Officers said they believed he was reaching for a weapon. They fired. They killed him. Finch was not armed. Barris was accused of making false reports to Wichita's 9/11 dispatchers. The Wichita Police Department posted the NIA. Finch appears to have no connection to the game or the dispute arising from it. Finch is the guy that they shot. Yeah, he doesn't have anything to do with it.
I mean, that's terrible. You just imagine just being at your house chilling and...
Lisa Finch said her mother was not a gamer.
I mean, I think this is something that, you know, people who are gamers who are on the internet have to be cognizant about. You know, that's, I mean, one, I mean, not that this is the extreme, you know, example, but it's one of the reasons why I don't really do a lot of online, you know, PvP or whatever, like, you know, the Call of Duty, like, you know, I did, you know, what, 50, you know, 10 whatever years ago. Because I got tired of the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the online community, it was just, it became the worst. And so it ruined me from wanting to, you know, be a part of that, of wanting to play Call of Duty online in multiplayer. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it got to the point where, like, I just want to play with my friends, people that I know, you know, where I can mute everybody else. So, like, when we're playing Destiny now, we're in our, you know, our team chat, you know, over Discord, that I don't have to hear anybody else because I don't want to hear anybody else because, you know, inevitably it's like going to be the worst things coming through my speakers.
Yeah.
And I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, usually I find that with the high intensity competitive shooting, obsessed with KDR type individuals. I've seen plenty. There's plenty of videos online. You can just look it up on YouTube anywhere. You can see the folks just losing their mind over some of the things that goes on in games. Now, I personally haven't seen that in the FGC fighting game community, because
it's a different field. It's
win lose. You know,
yeah.
The worst you'll ever get is someone talking trash to you online, giving you a message. And we always say that if you don't get hate mail, you're not doing it right in the game. So yeah,
I think the fighting games are more one on one. Correct?
Yeah, one on one.
So it's more individualistic one on one, and a lot of the times it's like in person in competitions, like Final Round. You know, stuff like that.
NCR,
you're actually looking. You know, it's one thing if you could see the person next to you that you're fighting against. Yeah, I might trash talk the person, whatever. Mm-hmm. But you could see that that's a person. It's not just rando on the internet somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that disconnection of, you know, the immediacy of knowing that it is a, you know, person that you're looking at, mm-hmm. I think allows people to have a certain sense of bravado or, you know, something that, you know, can disconnect them from humanity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing, like, if you're looking somebody in the eye, you know, it's another thing if you're just looking at a screen.
Yeah.
So.
You'll say it online. You ain't going to say it to my face.
Yeah, exactly. That's the more succinct way of saying what I was trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
But, and plus maybe, like, the community itself of gamers who are playing FPS as opposed to fighting games, it's kind of a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, you might like you play Destiny, but you know, you also play, you know, Street Fighter and stuff like that. But like,
right.
You know, that community, like, you know, if I know someone, like if I'm playing competitively in like a Command and Conquer, you know, that's a different kind of game and mm-hmm. a different kind of atmosphere than I would be against, you know, someone in, you know, Wolfenstein or something like that, you know, so.
I guess stats or whatever. Like I said, KDR,
if you have someone like a strategy game or a fighting game, like the different types of game, I think, have a different kind of draw from different communities.
Yeah, the fighting game for me, it's just your wins, your losses. Did you learn something from your loss? That's pretty much all you can do, really. Learning matchups.
Can you pull off this combo better? Yeah. Can I, you know.
Practicing combos, doing.
Can I block this one? Yeah.
Learning the right situations, when to do something, when not to do something, whereas opposed to the competitive shooting, it's
just
like,
more twitch based. You know, I guess, twitch around and like that, fire before, you know,
cheating as well.
Yeah,
some people finding exploits and hacks or whatever like that.
Well, in fighting games,
no, both actually. Well, yeah, but I think it's more prevalent in the competitive shooter.
I would guess. I don't know. I think a lot.
I hear about it more often. I don't make it true, but I hear about it more often in the competitive shooter than anything else.
Now, would you consider finding an exploit a cheat, or just using the system, you know, basically gaming the matrix? You know, it's one thing to like actively like try and break it, but if you're using an exploit, I've always felt
that if there's an exploit someone's using in a fighting game, it's mm-hmm. my first and foremost thought, it's my job to figure out how to get around it.
Okay, but that makes you better, right?
Find another character or switch something up or do something different, because if what you're doing now isn't working, you know, try something else.
Okay.
Until what your strategy that you have, if the strategy you have ain't working, try something else. That's my first and foremost thing. But if it's an actual hack or cheat and exploit, then someone would have an issue with it and talk to the game makers or whatever.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that the bad news is out of the way, we'll get into
happy stuff.
Some more. Maybe happy, but because there's
less
still
heavy.
Yeah, very much
but
less.
But I think it's important to shine a light on that and to talk about it instead of just, you know, to get people aware of it.
Yeah,
I just don't know what can be done about it.
Mm-hmm.
Being aware, because this guy got his address pulled for what seems to be a completely random thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Appears that way, yeah.
It appears that they don't know, you know, exactly. This was at Los Angeles, called into a Wichita, Kansas thing, and it's just, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, completely
random.
Do we even
know if the original guy was in Kansas?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay.
The guy that gave out the address, I'm curious. I part of me thinks that he probably doesn't have, if a charge at all, it'd be something completely minor.
Well,
I'm not sure.
It could be reckless endangerment.
Right, yeah, something like that, for putting it out there.
You know this person is going to, at least has said they are going to
assault
the house functionally.
You put his business out there, and the result of it was him getting killed. So That's, yeah. Rex Endangerment sounds...
It's not like he gave out his own address. He picked somebody else's.
He did, yeah. So
if he were smart, he would have called in. He would have given the guy the address to a police station.
Yeah, something that's not... Yeah, that would... Anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about some of what we've been doing over the past 2 weeks since we've been away. But all the music that is in this episode, there's an interesting thing with video game music that happened over the holidays. It actually happened Christmas Day, that the original music for Destiny was leaked online. And it's something that has not yet been released, or had not at the time been released. This is stuff that Martin O'Donnell had worked on and collaborated with Paul McCartney on. And they had done something called Music of the Spheres. And it was done to kind of map out the complete 10-year plan of what Destiny was going to be. And this music would be the framework of that. It would be the framework of all the music that would spawn from for the games from this 8-piece, not set, not record, whatever. But it was 8 tracks. There were 8 tracks that were composed. Mm-hmm. And anyway, that stuff, they only had about 100 of them. And O'Donnell had given them out to friends, and some other people had given out their copies to friends way back when. But it was never officially released, and a group of people online had been trying to piece it all together from little bits here and there, trying to get everything out. And then finally, Christmas Day, they had the entire thing, and they put it out there. So far, Bungie nor Activision has pulled a cease and desist on them. Oh. Hmm. It is still up there.
I'd like to get a hold of this one. I'd like to get a hold of that.
Yeah.
I have. If you've got a thumb drive, I've got it. Yeah.
I think I do, actually.
Yeah. But yeah, it is completely out there, and there's a lot of hints of what became Destiny in there. But there's a lot of really good stuff in there too that we have not heard. Hmm. I'm not sure if this is one of them or not. This is the prison, which represents. Oh, I can't remember how they all went in a. They all went in an order, as far as.
Did they sort of supposed to tell a story, in a way?
Let me see if I can find the, no, that's not it. That's not it. Let's go here. Hang on. I'm jumping through hoops here to get back to the original post so I can, talk about what all that, oh man, now I can't find it at all. I can't find the link to it at all. This sucks. Anyway. I'll have to look at it again. Everything represented a planet. So track one represented the moon, track two represented Earth, and then it went Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, all the different planets. So Music of the Spheres, that's what it was.
Right.
Planets. And so this is called The Prison, which was track number 7, and I want to say this is Saturn, but I can't remember. I have to look it up. But anyway, it's all the music. There were 8 tracks. We've got 7 of them.
Saturn, that would be where the Prison of Elders is. Was that right?
Is that where the Prison of Elders is?
The Prison of Elders is connected to the reef.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Saturn is where the...
Saturn's where the Dreadnought sits.
The Dreadnought is.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, we'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. This is called The Prison. It is from Destiny Music of the Spheres. We will be right back. Thank you. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. I'm Scott, along with RJ and Sarah and Matt. And you're currently listening to The Rose, is the name of this track from Music of the Spheres. This represents Mars. And apparently all the different pieces were in a different key. Track one was in key C, and then there was D, E, F, sharp, G, A, B flat, and C. So somebody went through and did a thing of like, okay, let's look at the keys and the order that they're in. Oh, this is the keys that play if you ever did the first raid in Destiny, which...
I didn't.
Yeah.
Was it Vault of Glass?
Vault of Glass. The Oracles. And the, did you ever run the raid?
We tried for about 10 minutes, but okay. There were only three of us, so it
do
didn't
you
work very well.
Did you get through, like, did you open the door to the Vault of Glass and go in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you get that part where you're in that dark area, and then the oracles come on. They're the big bright light things that you have to go shoot and that sort of thing. Every time they appear, they make a noise, they make a chime, they make a tone. And that tone was C, D, E, F sharp, G, A, B flat, C.
Oh, neat.
I like it when they do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was eight tracks, and there's eight oracles that pop up during that fight that you have to shoot. So that's part of where that came from and part of how that did. So that's what you're going to hear through all the breaks throughout the show today will be Music of the Spheres from Destiny. Not necessarily, I'm not saying Destiny 2 on this, by the way.
Yeah, this is the first Destiny.
Yeah, this was done with Destiny, but you do hear parts of...
some like musical cues
in Destiny 2 from these tracks. Like I said, this wasn't necessarily Destiny in just the first game. It was Destiny as a whole franchise.
Mm-hmm.
It was like every music track that you guys have to make, build it off of these because this is how it's going to go. Unless of course the path changes and you've got to do your own thing, which of course it really actually did. Everything completely changed. It's just an interesting story to hear about Bungie's development of Destiny.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So, let's go over what we were going to... I don't know. What has anybody played? Has anybody played anything? I played outside of Destiny 2 and their Dawning event that I'm working through, which is not something I'm happy with either.
Really?
Two Dawning engrams per account.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't make it two per character? Well, of course you couldn't make it two per character because you need people to spend money in the Eververse.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you couldn't make it two per character. So you have to do five rounds of Mayhem in the Crucible. That gets you one. And then you have to do five heroic, or just strikes, I think, really. Ooh. It's just five strikes. That gets you the second one. Once you've done it on one character, you can't... I mean, you can do it on the others, but you won't get the engram. You'll just get a gift of some kind, a shader.
And then, like, the little presents, you know, that you had to go through.
That I don't mind, because that was... I mean, that still is per character.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's per account, but... okay.
It is account.
The fetch quest is per account.
Yeah.
But each character can go in and grab...
Yeah, like I didn't have. I got three characters on my account, and
you probably zipped through that fast.
I did different characters for each one, so every time there's a gift now, it's just it just gives me either a.
It just gives you the reward.
A
you don't have to
or a ghost or a shader or something. Mm-hmm.
But
those
before
lines.
It did that, we had to go kill a certain amount of enemies and then find a certain amount of resources and all
the,
this
the
other stuff.
The one I didn't like is the advanced resources. That's the one I didn't like.
The advanced was easy. You just pulled them from your vault.
It wouldn't let me do that.
What?
Yeah.
Why would it not let you do that?
I don't
it worked
know.
For me and
well.
Everybody else and RJ.
Me as well.
Really? Because like, I had like a, I think it was the advanced one on Titan, you know, the little whatever molecule.
Alkane spores instead of dust.
So, so like it was like collect, I think, 10 of those.
Yeah.
No,
so.
The 10, no, was, 10 was always the regular ones.
10 was the normal. I think it's
10
three.
Was the one you
oh,
had.
Oh, yeah, 3. Okay,
three.
Yeah.
Three.
I had
ones.
One already in my vault and everything, but it didn't count it.
It should have.
How did you transfer it over? Did you go to your vault and just transfer it?
Oh, no, it was in my character. I didn't move it to the vault. That was before I knew that you could do that. Never mind. I'm going to be quiet now.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Matt's doing things wrong.
I am doing things.
But
wrong.
if you have to have rare resources, if you have them in your vault, or if you have them on your character, just move them to your vault. Don't use an app, by the way. You need to go to the tower and do the movement.
Yeah.
Move them to your vault, then move them back in. It counts as one. Move it back out and back in. Counts as two and three, and you're done.
Really? Does that also work in Mercury?
Anything that is a rare resource,
it doesn't work for the
it doesn't work for the common ones. Resources. Yeah. Okay. Just the rare ones, just the ones you need three of.
Because like in Mercury for the
and it doesn't verses. Count for the verses. No. It only counts for this thing. It doesn't count for the verses. Dude, I've been all over that if that was the case. You and I were doing this the other night trying to get this stuff, and I'd have told you that. I was like, why are we doing this when we could just transfer it from Vault? And I didn't say that, did I?
No.
Because it doesn't work.
I was hoping.
No, that doesn't work. The other thing, the one that I hated was Raul.
Raul, yeah. Collect 10 legendary Engrams.
10 purple Engrams.
Hmm.
That was horrible.
End up buying 4.
I bought 7. Oh, I've got like a ton of shards, dude. I got a ton.
Really? I'm down.
I had over 300 before I did that quest, and then I dropped down to 145. I'm back up to like 215 now.
Yeah. Jeez. So, I need more shards. I did Zur today.
I need to go see him because he's got the one gun that I have not yet gotten, which is that...
I got the Telesto. The
Vigilance Wing?
Yes. The Pulse Rifle. One of the first ones I got on my PS4 character, but on PC I never got it. So
bought it the last time he had it.
Yeah, so I need to get it.
I picked it up, and normally I don't like pulse rifles in Destiny 2. I think they're terrible, but this one.
This is the only one I'll put up with.
Yeah, it's actually I'm digging it. Then I
Try the Lincoln Green?
I didn't like it. I keep on they keep on giving that one to me, and I'm like, nope, dismantle.
Hmm. I would think the rate of fire was the reason, was the issue that most people have with pulse rifles.
Just something, I don't like the way they feel. I don't like the 3-round burst or the, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then I did the, from Zur, where you could get the exotic, you know, that you don't have.
Right.
And I got, I forget the name of it.
What type of weapon is it?
It's a scout rifle. It's an energy weapon.
Is it Skyburner's Oath?
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Oh, man, RJ, look at that. Awesome. Okay. I like that weapon.
I've saved that. I haven't dismantled it yet because I have yet to go on a raid. And the raid is on the Leviathan, which is full of Cabal. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that'd be the perfect weapon to use. So I've been gradually building it up.
One of the first things I got somehow.
Yeah. Really?
The raid weapons that I remember were... that fusion rifle, and I can't remember the name of it now.
The new, from the new Zur?
Prometheus Telesco? Lens?
Prometheus, no. That's not a Prometheus Lens is not a fusion rifle.
Oh.
That's a trace rifle.
Oh.
For the fusion rifle, it's the...
Telesco?
No.
Merciless?
Merciless.
That's a good one.
Merciless is one if you have that. That's a raid weapon. The Ward... Cliff Coil is a raid weapon.
That's a good one.
The Vigilance Wing and the Trace, the Cold...
The Cold Heart.
Cold Heart.
Now, you have issues with the Vigilance Wing? 5-round burst instead of 3?
I like it. Just for me, it feels different.
Hmm.
Any rocket launcher that has cluster bombs in it. So
Curtain Call.
Curtain Call's good.
Call's for sale from Zavala if you got the... Strike Engrams. Vanguard Engrams. So if you don't have one, pick one up.
I've been rocking the Zenobia B, the homing missile one.
Mm-hmm. Does it have cluster bombs?
No.
Find one with cluster... Well, I mean...
I have Curtain Call.
You work with whatever you want to work with, but in the raid, it's really nice to have those cluster bombs.
Yeah, I have Curtain
Call. Because when you put DPS on the main boss guy, the cluster bombs do additional damage to him. And so when you're trying to pull that damage down... everybody's using the trace rifle, the cold heart, I guess is what it's called.
Cold heart.
And people are also using any of the rocket launchers they've got that can put as much damage on him to knock him down. Anyway, so I played Destiny and I've played Assassin's Creed Origins, a lot more of that over the holidays. And I only have about 3 more minutes to go until we hit the top of the hour before I can do that. So let's go to a break. I'm going to play this track here. By the time this track's over with, it will be the top of the hour. And then we can start smooth again and go over all the games that we played over the holidays.
I want to get your feelings.
I know, and I didn't want to.
I want to talk about that.
I knew I wasn't going to have that time with 3 minutes here. So this one is called The Tribulation. This represents the sun. It is in F sharp, and it is from Destiny Music of the Spheres. We will be right back with more in-game chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. I'm Scott, along with RJ, Sarah, and Matt. Episode 498. This is a track called The Hope, which represented the Traveler, not any one of the specific bodies in space that we know of.
Yeah.
But in-game, there was the Traveler, which was a...
big sphere?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a celestial body, but, you know, it was a rather big...
Like
sphere.
A mini moon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It's not a moon.
It's a big sentient
space station?
Space body.
Yeah, it is. Sentient space body, I guess, would be the best way to put it. So.
Then you had the speaker for the Traveler.
Who didn't speak at all.
Until the second game.
Yeah. And then they silenced him. But, yeah. Anyway, this track... Actually,
it's really nice.
Segues into the Paul McCartney song that was done.
Band on the Run?
No. The Paul McCartney song that was done for Destiny.
Yeah.
I forgot
that he had a song done for Destiny.
It's really bad.
Really?
I don't have it going into that track, by the way. I fade it out before it gets to that. It's not really good. The video makes it worse. And I can't remember what it's called. Hope is a Light, I think, or something like that. I'm not sure what it was called. But boy, it's really bad. If you ever want to listen to it, you can go into Destiny 1 and go to the end credits.
Oh, yeah.
On the map, you know, there's a thing where you can watch the credits on the map. Mm-hmm. Just click that and you can watch the credits and it's in there. Actually, you know what? That's a stupid suggestion. Go to YouTube and just watch it. I forget about that sometimes. So, yeah, just do it that way. Anyway, welcome back to the show. We were going over the games that we had played for the past 2 weeks, and really, for me, it was just Destiny, did the Dawning stuff. We talked about that. And also, which, by the way, I am short of... Is it a... No, I fixed it.
Was it the... Are you talking about for your character?
Yeah.
When it like Warlock the.
But I think I'm done with that. I think I finally finished that. No, he is.
The armband?
Yeah, short of my Warlock bond. I swear I think. Check my thing. I've got an app for that.
Your light level for your equipment, armor wise? Everything 335?
Yeah, Ishtar Commander is a wonderful thing. Mm. 335, 335, 335. Nope, my Warlock bond is at 334. It is the last thing keeping my Warlock from being a 335 Warlock.
Maxed out.
Yeah. Yeah. On my Hunter, I lack 1 point for my helmet to be 335.
Mm-hmm. Exotic?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I lack, I'm at 326 on my cape for my Hunter. But those are the only two things I need. So I would say within the next week, by the next two weekly resets, I would think, if that, I should be at, aside from a random drop of some sort, I should be at 335 on both characters. Yeah.
In my case, I've always focused on the weapons first more than anything else. Try to get my main kinetic weapon.
It's the kinetic. I had a beautiful drop of a Nameless Midnight with a perk with a purple perk already in there, and good. So I used it to get to 335, and then from then on I got everything else to 335, no problem on my weapons. But yeah, that main weapon outside, if you're not wanting to run an exotic, very hard to do.
Yeah, because I've been on 328 with my Song of Justice for weeks now. I haven't gotten a lot of scout rifles have dropped, but none of them good enough to pick up the light level on my main weapon. I mean, I've got it masterworked now, so the range is ridiculous.
I lack it's a sniper lot of rifle those
range now.
I got a sword the other day that was specific only to the Warlock. Like I got it on my Hunter. And it's
the one with the notches in the back of it. Yeah, I got that too.
The Hunter one was, I think the Edge.
Hunter one was a Quick Fang.
Yeah, Quick Fang. Yeah,
Quick Fang.
That's specific.
The Titan. I think the Titans looks like a claymore. Hmm. Looks like something from Soul Calibur.
Interesting.
I forget the name of it though.
I have that. But anyway, so I did Destiny, but then I jumped into Assassin's Creed Origins and actually put some time into that and started doing my first missions, which is very, very. We've talked about this before. It's very overwhelming to be on a map that's got a billion things to do. And you don't know the first place to start or how to do them or what to do. Or there was no hand-holding. It wasn't like, let's take you through the first map and let's do these little things with you. So you can get accustomed to everything you're going to encounter, you know. Destiny does these things where, or other games do these things where you do your first mission. And they're like, hey, you should go over here and talk to so-and-so. And you do. And then it's like, hey, now you should go to your inventory slot. And, like, you can't do anything else until you do these things. Go to your inventory slot, look at this, spend the in-game currency here, do this, pick up one of these, blah, blah, blah. Here's a few just to get you started. All these different things that kind of make you go around and experience all the things they have to offer. Assassin's Creed doesn't do that. I mean, it gives you your first mission. Does it? Yeah. You get your little first mission, it feels like a training mission.
Mm-hmm. The sneak into your friend's house.
Exactly. And then that's it. You are open to do whatever. And I realized, I think, I'd have to look at the map again, but I realized you can pretty much get on your horse and just go, camel, and which is what it is, a camel. You can get on your camel and just go. You can go through the map, the entire thing. You just go.
Yes.
You don't have to do, anything.
It does, I mean, sort of wall you off in a way because as you explore outside of Siwa, which is the
beginning,
that you're in.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like, except for like the route that it wants you to take, which is sort of like north and then east, you know, like northeast. Then
where I noticed that I had free reign.
You're surrounded by like higher, like level 4, like 39, 40. Yeah. Like they'll just like look at you bad and you're dead.
Where I noticed that it opened up to be a completely exploratory thing and you can do what you want was after I had done the final mission in that opening town, in that opening city. It's like, hey, now travel to Alexandria to meet your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't, like, just take me to Alexandria. It took me to the middle of the map.
Yeah.
And said, go from here. And
you said, go over, then go up to Alexandria.
Right, but I didn't. Oh. At the time, during the holidays, they had the three
The Trial of the Gods.
The three Trial of the Gods were active, the three of them. And so I said, I want to go see what one of these looks like.
So did you go to Anubis?
I went to, well, turns out I went to the one that you can't do until you finish the mission that involves your wife.
Okay.
You can do it, but it doesn't end. She just stops attacking you, and then you're locked into it until you leave the area and reset the event. And every time you go back into it, you get a hit on her, and then she spawns the guys to attack you. Mm-hmm. Once you've killed those guys, she does nothing. She just sits there, and you can't attack her. You can't do anything. So you actually have to finish the mission with the wife first in order to do that. I had to look that up because I thought, oh, maybe it's a bug, or maybe it's really preventing me from doing this. It was dead. You know, it was...
So
it was the most difficult thing. All I had to do was dodge and get a shot off, and that was it.
So you tried one of the gods.
Mm-hmm.
And what level are you?
I think I was 9.
Because I thought you had...
They're
like,
40.
They're saying, like, you know, you should probably be around level 40 to do this.
Yeah, they're 40 to do it, and I was level 9. I didn't care. I just wanted to go see it.
Yeah, you just want to see it. So, so I'm guessing you did the cat god.
That's who it was, yeah.
Okay, because I forget her name, but like... No.
No.
I want to say Sit.
No, it wasn't Sit. It's a much longer name than that.
Yeah. Because Sobek is the alligator god that's in there. Crocodile?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a crocodile.
Crocodile. And then you have Anubis, you know, the god of the dead. And if you... the whole thing with the trial of the three gods is, like, when you beat them, you get an exotic piece of either weaponry or shield and stuff. And, you know, they have the three, and I went ahead and did all three. I have to wait till they reset, and then if I do it one more time, I will complete the set, and I will get the Anubis armor, which is, like, really, really cool looking.
I wondered about that, because I had heard
that
you got some stuff about it. Of course, again... I'm low level, so I was able to get a shot at. Basically, it was just dodging her attacks, which wasn't much from what she had.
And just, you know, like, throw arrows at her.
And once I knocked her down to, I think I just got one hit off, and she sent out the guards.
Yeah.
And I defeated the guards, no problem. That wasn't really too hard to do, especially with fire arrows that I had and stuff. They drop more arrows and things like that as you walk around there, but... Anyway, I got them done, and then she didn't do anything after that. So
are you still, like, around level 9-ish?
No, I'm up to level 11 at this point, because I played more. I mean, once I got done with that, I hit some, because I had made a path, I had opened up a lot of different things. So I hit some viewpoints here and there to open things up. And discovering places would add to my XP.
Yeah. A little bit, but I mean, after a while.
It was a lot, though. There was a lot that I went through.
The thing I really like about Origins is, as you're running around and everything in it, you could have your sort of auto run your animal, your mount. Whereas, like, I guess you have a camel, you could either have that or a horse, or I have a chocobo, and so you could they'll automatically follow the road to your waypoint. So while they're just auto running, you could, like, go into the bird, you know, your bird view, and sort of, like, scout around ahead, see if there's people, if there's bad guys, or there's animals that are going to attack you, or just enjoy the scenery and not actually have to physically, you know, run.
Or fast travel to the nearest location.
Or
buy
fast
that,
travel.
But that's near the objective and go from there.
But sometimes, like, you know, you won't have a fast travel option.
No, sometimes you don't, because I hadn't opened up any of the... Again, Alexandria is a good example. They plopped me in the middle of what felt like the middle of the map, and there was one viewpoint that I could, you know, crouch on and do the synchronized thing with, but that was so far away from where I needed to be.
So I'm like, all right, either you go there or... You know.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like when I first got to Alexandria in that area, I could see, like, Giza off in the background.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, look, there, you can see the pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. I absolutely am loving that game. I was, you know, talking with Sarah earlier about, like, sometimes open world games, you know, where they have all the fetch quests and stuff can be tedious. This one didn't feel that way to me. This one isn't annoying me. It always feels like there's something to see. There's some, you know, like some of the random stuff you'll, like, just pop up across, or just, you know, looking at the area and, like, oh wow, it's really neat. I'm at level 4. You know, I beat the story. I'm max level. So now I'm just doing, you know.
So what are you doing now? Yeah.
Now what I'm doing is I'm trying to, like, clear out the rest of the points, you know, do all the side missions. Because I didn't do all the side missions. So I still have side missions to do. I still have forts to take over. I still have places to find. You know, stuff like that.
The Trial of the Gods seems like a great idea, something that could pull me back into it once I'm done. But my problem, and I've mentioned this multiple times with Assassin's Creed or a lot of those games, is that when I finish the main story, I have very little desire to go back into them.
See, I want to, now that I'm like kind of super buff overpower guy, you could do nightmare mode for one, and it brings all of the characters, like in the enemies. It scales them up to your level.
Well, I mean, there's that, but there's also...
I'm trying to...
The reason I would do side quests was to level my guy up and to get whatever those things rewarded me. Once I hit the level cap, which I have done this in Assassin's Creed Syndicate, I've hit my level cap. There is hardly any reason for me. What it feels like now that I'm doing in Syndicate, which I haven't gone back to in a while, is just taking care of... I was so close to finishing off this guy's story... I might as well knock that out before I progress on the main storyline. Yeah. I'm so close to finishing off the Charles Dickens missions and the
Marx.
No, it wasn't Marx, it was the other guy.
Was an author?
Darwin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Charles Dickens, Charles Darwin missions. I was so close to finishing off their storyline that I was like, well, let's go ahead and finish that. Which it leaves just these little tiny things on the map that I'm left to do. And so I kind of figure, why not? But if I had gone through the story and kind of left all that stuff there, I'd really have no desire to go back and do them. I really would. With the exception of maybe the Darwin or the Dickens missions, because those were ghost story based and story stuff like that. The Marx thing I didn't care about. The Darwin missions I really didn't care about either. And there's a couple of others that story-wise, I just don't care about. They don't interest me whatsoever. And I don't like doing stuff that they're asking me to do anyway, which is tail this person or do this. There was one where you're... And this is in Syndicate again. This is going back some years. But there was one where you get hypnotized by a dude. And
oh, I remember that one.
Yeah. But they didn't make it so that the player felt... hypnotized. They just took away your ability to do anything, which was annoying. If anything, it could have been, and I know other games have done this, if anything, it could have made all the NPC characters look like the person I was trying to go after. That way it would have felt like I'm hallucinating or like I'm going through this or that I really can't do anything, rather than just take away my ability to shake it off and run away. And it was not there. It just... I didn't like the way some of those things played out. It was being played out that way because it had to serve the narrative. I understand that, but I wasn't really happy with that. But I had already sunk my head so far into it that I didn't feel. I felt like I should just go ahead and finish, you know. But I still haven't done it yet. I've started Origins before I even finished Syndicate, which is fine.
I'm enjoying Origins more than I enjoyed Syndicate.
Not yet for me.
Okay.
Not yet. Oops, sorry. Not yet.
I really am. Like, some of the weapons...
Understand that I just got to Alexandria.
Okay.
So I've only
there's
done...
There's a lot more you can do.
See, so I've only done that starting point, and now I'm at Alexandria to talk to the wife, and I think I've done the first thing, which was met her down at the... It was the sewers or the... I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
And now it's like, hey, now you got to go do these things. And so I'm early into this thing, so there, not yet.
Alexandria has one part that I don't like. It's the chariot racing. I'm not a fan of the chariot.
I haven't gotten to that part.
When you do the chariot racing, I'm not a fan of that.
Is it bad physics?
I don't like the way the chariots feel. And it's kind of like, it's supposed to be like Ben-Hur, you know, where you're running around the little...
Right.
I'm just not a fan of that.
I'll say bad physics, it doesn't feel like a chariot then, or how's it supposed to feel like? Really
tedious. That's how it feels.
Because I can't think of any chariot type simulators or any other game really. Now that I think about it,
I'm not a fan of the race. You know, I really liked the exploration in Origins. I love the tombs because you'll find tombs and you basically like, you know, your character, Bayek, he just does not care about, like, you know, archaeology or conservation of tombs. He's like smashing walls and.
But that's you, though.
I know, but like in order to go like further into the tomb, you have to smash this wall down, and I'm like,
but you don't have to.
Well, in order to, like, to complete the tomb, you do.
But you don't have to.
Oh, you so have to.
But that's you, then.
Yeah.
The character doesn't. You're doing that.
But there's an, you know, there's
you don't care about archaeology.
But it's really cool where I like exploring the tombs. You know, there'll be, like, cobras in there and everything.
Those of you who do have Twitch access, you can watch Sarah's reactions when
I didn't even see her reaction.
Yeah, no, that's great. Go ahead.
But, you know, I really like, I like that part of it. Just running around, like, the different, you know, you'll have, like, desert in some areas. You'll have, like, swamp in others.
Well, and then, like, Alexandria, it's like, oh, what? Look at all this water. And
water
green that I can see. Yeah.
Towards the end of the game, it feels like a mini, like, Mediterranean in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I like seeing, like, the influence of the Greek architecture and the Greek in there. Some of the weapons I got, like, I have nothing but exotic weapons and armor and everything. And, you know, some of the perks that they give, like, I have a flame sword, you know, which is really cool. I'm, like, setting people on
I've fire. Seen the flame sword. I've seen swords that
they have some that, like, they put sleep on hit.
Yeah, they do poison.
Which is really good. Poison
and,
on hit.
They do a heal on hit.
Yeah,
or,
which really helps.
Yeah, out. Exactly. I was reading strategies about how to take down some of the gods, and they're like, pretty much you want to set everything that gives you any kind of healing whatsoever, put it on you.
Yeah.
If it's a shield that applies healing once you use it to block something, put it
the
on.
The arrows heal on hit
yes.
and everything.
Anything that will heal you, use it.
Yeah.
So
that's saved because I beat all three of the gods, and you know that saved me more than once. Or when you go up, there's like elephants in the game.
Haven't run into any of those yet.
Yeah, and like that, those could be challenging. They have apparently Ubisoft and Square Enix is having like a cross promotion mm-hmm. going on with Final Fantasy 15. Where they have this like little mini mission, where like a meteorite crashes through one of the pyramids, and you go investigate it and like get to solve this puzzle. And
I saw something in the sky when I was in the desert the other day.
Okay,
now was that a hallucination?
There are hallucinations, yes,
of things falling from the sky.
There can be.
Okay,
now the one that I'm talking about is close to Giza. It's in the, you know, like, it's close to the Giza province.
I was traveling.
And it's an actual mission.
I know. I was traveling from near Giza, not in Giza, but okay. I was traveling from near there down to where that fight was.
Okay.
And as I was going, because it was such a long trek, I think it was like 7,000 whatever. Mm-hmm. It was such a long trek that I did come across, you know, where the fish falls out of the sky.
Yeah.
I came across.
That's a funny one.
The
lady, locust?
The lady tending to the garden. Of roses or whatever, the guy who points in
the
direction.
The pointing guy? Yeah, that one's weird.
And then, but at some point, I turned the camera around as my guy was moving. I was just turning around just to see the area. And behind him, in the sky, was what looked like a meteorite coming down. It was a ball of fire that was coming down. And it wasn't in any other part of the sky. It was just behind me as I was doing it. I thought, that's another hallucination.
I
could have been close
to Final Fantasy one because it's an actual mission thing.
That when you trigger the mission, then that's what
then
happens.
Then you see it, yeah, and it goes through, and it I mean,
so that's a lucid. I'll say
you could see it totally destroys. You know, like it takes out the top of a pyramid.
Okay,
and you're like, oh, I should investigate that, and you do, and like you solve a little like you know puzzle, and like there's like one of the characters from Final Fantasy 15, like sort of frozen in carbonite in a way, and he wakes up and just. Skedaddles and so, but you get like a sword and a shield, like Final Fantasy 15 sword and shield, and an exotic mount of a chocobo. Ooh. So I have a chocobo that I'm running around in, which is really cute.
Sarah, did you play anything over the holidays?
I did. I played some Battlefront 2.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Not very much, because it turns out I cannot fly a TIE fighter. Speaking of games that don't really hold your hand, it's like,
you know.
Hey,
no.
You're in a debris field. Good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Death Star blow up. Hey, try and get
that.
Out of there.
It's like, how about like maybe a training course?
Is
this a game you picked up for Christmas, or did you?
It is a game I downloaded from a friend's account.
Oh, okay. All right. So. Cool. Did you play anything else, or was that?
That was pretty much it.
No,
I started playing the Last Jedi expansion. Mm-hmm. I need to finish that up.
Oh, I played a little bit more of The Witcher 3.
Okay, ooh, good.
How are you liking that?
I'm enjoying it.
Good, good.
That'll be a time sink.
You've got a long way to go.
I do, But you know, I played Skyrim twice, so that's fair.
Okay,
RJ, what about you?
Oh. Well, besides having money problems in Destiny 2, I told you about that one earlier.
You say money problems, but it's not play. You're having a hard time spending the money, is what you're basically having a problem with. Yeah.
I have an issue with the max in Destiny 2 being going from 99,999 to upgrading to a whopping 100,000 even. Yeah. Thanks, Bungie.
Yeah. Because you can't.
You can't get any more than that. If it wasn't for that, I'd probably have about 350,000, 400,000 by now.
There was always a cap, actually.
Yeah.
There was always a cap on it. It just said 99,999 and then plus.
Segment.
But you still didn't make Glimmer.
Yeah, you didn't make it because I've seen plenty of times where I pick up Glimmer and the thing has a big X mark that says basically you can't hold it anymore.
Right, yeah.
So I'm stuck.
No, there is a cap on how much Glimmer you can have. I mean, the easiest thing to do is just buy mods, but...
Yeah, but that feels... It feels pointless to me because they're not the five, the plus five to your defense.
Well, you buy enough of them, they might, you might get repeats, and once you get three of those, you can turn those in and get a purple.
Yeah.
Seems like a waste. Which is how that works, but, so yeah.
I'm running into, like, I have too many mods. Like, I'm having to, like, put stuff.
Blues or purples?
Yes.
Both.
Oh, yeah. I go through and get rid of a lot of my single mods, the single blues that I have. Mm-hmm. If I have two blues, obviously, I hold on to those waiting for a third, but a lot of the single ones, I'll just disassemble. Mm-hmm. Or dismantle.
No disassemble.
So.
25 alive.
But other than that, outside of that, just a little bit of King of Fighters 14 and Street Fighter 5, getting you ready for the update on the 16th or the 18th of January for the arcade edition of Street Fighter 5. Give me a reason to get back in there,
because
it wasn't giving me much earlier, but with all the characters coming out, I'll have to step my game up, start playing again.
All right, we have another break coming up here, and then when we come back, I was trying to look over some of the stuff that we hadn't talked about, and there was a lot. There was like Pac-Man Championship Edition 2 Plus is coming to the Switch. It'll have an exclusive co-op mode. Catherine's being remade.
Yeah, on the PS4 and Vista.
Yeah, yeah.
Catherine full body.
Vita.
Not the Vista. That's a Windows.
it's a Windows.
Oh, yeah. Talk about that one. I've heard all over the place about that one.
Yeah. Ubisoft is giving away Watch Dogs for free now.
The first one?
Uh-huh.
Nah, I don't care.
It was that bad of a game?
I already got it.
But Watch Dogs, right? Not two, the first
not
one.
Two, the first one.
If it was
one,
two,
yeah.
I'd pick it up.
Steam Winter Sale has started, which I haven't looked at yet.
Something from that.
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll try and squeeze that in with everything.
It's usually available on Steam in weeks.
Just some DLC. Yeah.
Nintendo Power is back, not as a magazine, but as a podcast now.
Okay.
We've got January's Xbox games with gold, and we've got PlayStation Plus's free games for January as well. We'll try and talk. I have so much here. Let's see. Platinum Games is going to self-publish, and there is possibly a gaming disorder that the World Health Organization is
looking into
recognizing, yes, but and I don't know that we'll talk about that because I don't believe in them. Anyway, not the World Health Organization, just a gaming disorder.
No.
Well, I think an excess of anything could be considered a disorder.
Exactly, excess of anything. But
Anyway, we're gonna take a break. Here is another track from the Destiny Music of the Spheres. This is The Ruin, which is track 3. It represents Venus, and it is done in the key of E, and we'll be back with more in-game chat after this. back to In-Game Chat. I'm Scott, along with RJ, Sarah, and Matt. This is music, obviously Music of the Spheres, and this track is called The Ecstasy. It represents Jupiter. It is in the A key. Very, I don't want to say jovial, but...
Uplifting?
Very uplifting. Very promising.
Sounds like music you play when you beat the game. You did say the ecstasy, right?
Yeah.
You beat the game, be happy. There you go.
Well, I think the hope is probably where that represents, which is the last track on there. But I don't know. These were never done in any kind of... I don't know why I'm potting my mic down. I need to put the music on. These were never done in any kind of way to represent the journey from the beginning of the game to the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
These honestly were composed before the game was done. It was... Notes were handed to... And by notes, I mean written notes about what the game is going to have in it. Not musical notes. But there were notes written about the game from the writer at the time. Joe Staten, I think is his name.
Mm-hmm.
This was before he left. Before Bungie had gut everything and start over with the grimoire and everything else that they had to do to kind of make this thing work. He handed Marty O'Donnell some notes about here's concept and here's some ideas and things like that. And then him and... I don't know how much Paul McCartney had to do with any of this, but I know most of it came from Marty, and he devised this 8-track piece that kind of sets the tone for the entire Destiny universe.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, welcome back to the show. We were going to go over, let's go over the games that we're going to be getting from PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
For January 2018, Deus Ex, Mankind Divided.
That's a good one.
Batman, the Telltale series.
It's the first season, right?
Yes.
I think the Deus Ex Mankind Divided is good because, like, you know, I think the PlayStation Plus needs a good AAA game.
Those are two pretty good ones right
yeah.
there. And then for PlayStation 3, you'll get Sacred 3 and The Book of Unwritten Tales 2. And on the Vita, you'll get the visual novel Psycho Pass, Mandatory Happiness... And pixel art survival horror title Uncanny Valley. There are also those two games are have PS4 copies with cross-buy, so you'll be able to have them on the PS4 as well. That's if you have PlayStation Plus in the month of January. For Xbox Live, your games with gold. For Xbox One, you will get The Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing 3. That's the entire month of January.
Woo.
Yep. From January 16th to February 15th, though, you get Zombie, Z-O-M-B-I, which probably another woo on that one, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I got nothing.
No idea. The Xbox 360 games that are backwards compatible with Xbox One will be Tomb Raider Underworld, January 1st through the 15th. If you didn't play this...
I did not.
See, I liked it. Now, it might not be that great because you're kind of dialing down... I'm sure you played the more recent ones.
I did.
Yeah, they've got a nice polish to them as far as the looks department and everything. This does not.
Which one?
Underworld.
Underworld.
Okay.
But the thing I liked about Underworld was that it dealt with Viking mythology, Norse mythology. Yes, really liked that. And then Army of Two from January 16th through the 31st.
Ooh, what if they had an Assassin's Creed Norse?
I don't see why they wouldn't.
That'd be interesting.
It'd be nice.
Yeah.
It would.
I'm totally down for that. Of course, God of War is going into Norse mythology for their revamp.
And that that one game that Hellblade.
I don't know. I haven't played Hellblade.
But I think that's like Norse mythology, the one that deals with dementia. And
is it? I don't know.
I think
interesting.
I think it does deal with Norse mythology.
There was that one game from Silicon Knights back on the 360. Drawing a blank now. It was the last game that God, what is that guy's name? He was a popular developer. He developed it was with Silicon Knights who did the game for the GameCube that had the weird stuff go on.
Oh, Eternal Darkness. Yeah. That was a great game.
Yeah. What is that guy's name? I'm friends with him on Facebook.
Well,
and I've totally forgotten what his name is.
Probably going to feel really insulted that you don't know.
He was such a big name in the let's see, Xbox 360 Viking game.
Remember that game? We had the volume controls show up on your TV screen.
You were... Oh, the blue screen of death was my favorite. Because, like, I know that, like, yeah, it's going to go insane, whatever. But when, as soon as that popped up, I was like, no.
I was at a friend of mine's house watching him play. And when the volume thing came up, he was, like, looking for his remote. Like, thinking someone was sitting on the thing. We just stopped.
They did some creative insanity.
Too human? Mm-hmm. Too human, that's what it was.
They did some creative insanity.
That's exactly
effects.
What it was. Mm-hmm. How did you find that?
Silicon Knights Viking game.
Good job. And the developer was Dennis Dyack.
Dennis Dyack.
Oh, yeah.
That's who I was trying to remember. Anyway.
Half my old job was, can I Google this for you?
I know, so. And I appreciate you doing that. Thank you so much for,
sure.
You know.
Skills.
Bringing those skills over to our show. Steam Awards are out. There are the nominations for your Steam Awards going on during the sale. Those are going on. I'm not going to have enough time to run through all the nominees. Or all the categories, anyway. There's the Choices Matter Award, which, as we all know, choices do not matter. They really don't. The Mom Spaghetti Award.
The what?
There are games that make you excited. There are games that make you happy. Then there are games so intense that they elicit a physical reaction, giving you weak knees, sweaty palms, and fear-induced accidents as well. Stuff like Outlast 2, Resident Evil 7, The Evil Within 2, Alien Isolation.
All right.
Those are some of the nominees. Labor of Love Award is, I guess, for a game that's been out for a very long time. Team Fortress 2 is in this category. So just games that have been just continually going. Yeah. Path of Exile. Warframe is in that. So Suspension of Disbelief Award. Let's be honest, games can have some pretty ridiculous elements in them, from the stories that drive the action to the items required to conquer obstacles to even the protagonists themselves, which is why Saints Row 4 is in the nominee is one of the is among the nominees of this.
Yeah.
South Park is among the nominees. Goat Simulator.
Oh, that's a good one.
Rocket League. The World is Grim Enough, Let's Just All Get Along Award. Games delight and entertain us, give us much needed breaks from the sorrows and low points of our lives. This is why the Something has chosen to celebrate a game that doesn't involve... So these are games that don't involve combat or conflict. Stardew Valley.
Oh, yeah.
Would be something like this. City Skylines. These,
that would be a great one, too.
Yeah, that's a good one. To the Moon, yeah.
Or like a Planet Coaster.
It's not in there,
but that would be good. Yeah.
The No Apologies Award. This award is for the game that you love unconditionally. Does it have faults? Maybe. Do people not understand your love for it? Sure.
Battlefront 2.
But there's no guilt here, only pleasure. Mountain Blade Warband, The Witcher, which is Witcher 1.
Oh, gosh. Oh.
Rust. The Defies Description Award. This game is like, well, actually, it's more similar to, it's just hard to describe. Garry's Mod, The Stanley Parable.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Antichamber, Pony Island. I don't know what that is. The Cry Havoc and Let Slip the Dogs of War Award.
I like the name to these awards.
This game doesn't necessarily offer the biggest explosions. It offers something better. Potential. Potential to be a rampaging force of nature. Or not. Who knows? Just Cause 3 is in there, which is because you can just make massive amounts of destruction happen.
Yeah. In fact, you're encouraged to.
Middle Earth, Cow Shadow Rockets. Of War, Total War, Warhammer 2, Broforce, the Haunts My Dreams Award. This game doesn't demand your time. It consumes your thoughts every waking moment of the day. Sid Meier's Civilization 6, Dark Souls 3, some of the games in there.
Rage-inducing. I've seen videos.
I'll send it to you to play. The Soul of Vitruvius Award. The Vitruvian Man was Leonardo's celebration of the ideal form. And in that spirit, they look to celebrate the game with the most lovingly rendered character, be it human, alien, or anything. Nier is in the nomination for this one.
Stardew Valley.
Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Ooh, yeah.
I Am Bread. Bayonetta.
Really good rendered bread.
The Whoa Dude 2.0 Award. The Academy wasn't clear enough in the awards description last year. Let's try this again. This award is for the Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas of video games. Hotline Miami.
Yeah.
Evil Within 2. Luna. Antichamber. CPU Invaders. The Best Soundtrack Award, that's self-explanatory. The Even Better Than I Expected Award, games that were just better than you expected. Assassin's Creed Origins is nominated.
Yes.
Cuphead is nominated.
Okay.
Sonic Mania is nominated.
Soundtrack.
So.
Love the soundtrack.
Well, the soundtrack, best soundtrack, we've got Cuphead, Undertale, Transistor, Crypt of the Necrodancer, and Nier. Mm-hmm. I would go with Cuphead on that one, but that is a personal preference, all my own. The five events that shaped the game industry in 2017. Some of these I didn't. Some of these, one of these I agreed with. Almost the rest I did not. The Switch, the Nintendo Switch. That's the one I agreed with. The fact that Nintendo knocked it out of the park with the release.
Yeah, when everything like leading up to it was thinking, how is this even gonna?
I didn't like the concept of it. I didn't. Everything was just. Except for when they showed off more Zelda.
For some reason, leading up to it, everything I thought was just screaming, this is going
to
be a failure.
You can listen to the show leading up to that.
Yeah.
And hear me talk about
how much I don't
think this is a thing, and I'm not going to own one. Of course I'm not going to own one. And then the day it's released, I owned one. And I love it. I brought it with me. I bring it with me every Saturday. Because if I've got extra time, I can play it. And it's great to have that ability. Because Mario Odyssey is gigantic. And I can, doesn't matter how many minutes I'm putting into that thing, I've still got hours to go with it. So, days to go with it, not even just hours. The other one they said here was when Steam Greenlight went away and they started Steam Direct. That doesn't feel like it changed anything, but I haven't really paid much attention to Steam this entire year, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
This was a big deal, but honestly, I haven't seen really any repercussions come from it when IGN bought Humble Bundle. Mm. Big story when it happened. I was surprised about it, but I haven't seen any kind
really
of,
much of
fallout from it or any kind of anything. Nothing gives me any evidence that IGN owns that, you know? Okay, I'll agree with this one, only for the fact of how it happened, not necessarily for the studio itself, but when Visceral Games was shut down, just completely out of the blue. And done, and they were set to do, I don't want to say great things, I have no idea what they were set to do other than release a Star Wars title. It was taking forever to produce.
I think Ragtag is still being produced under Montreal.
Maybe.
That's one of the things that I've heard recently.
Yeah, I was hoping.
Even though this rolls down and everything, because, like, you know, one thing, being in San Francisco is super expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, all right, they could save money.
Yeah, I was just hoping for another Dead Space, but...
No. Yeah.
I think a lot of people were, and that was one of the big things. If they
especially after 3.
If they weren't excited for that Star Wars game, they were excited for Dead Space. I was always holding out hope for another Dante's Inferno. Yeah. But I never got that.
That was a good one.
The other one that they have here is that Electronic Arts bought Respawn developers, the Titanfall developers.
Yeah.
That didn't seem like a huge big deal to me. Although Titanfall 2 is wonderful in every sense. They have done...
Yes.
That is how they have released a game and continue to release content for it, and that's how a lot of places should do that, which is like, here's more free content that does not affect... Or here's more paid content, but it does not affect you being able to play with other players or giving you any kind of advantage in multiplayer. None of it. It is all aesthetic. It is all... you know, shaders, basically. It's all ways to look different but not play any different. So I feel like there should be a lot more in there or a lot different ones added to this. I think the loot box situation that happened just recently should have been in there. The fact that a game was set to release and, in fact, was being played by reviewers and in the middle of that, completely changed how that game was going to play. And I'm talking about Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
The way they did away with the loot boxes and everything. That surprises me that that's not in there. And that's so recent that I'm trying to think of anything else that happened this year, gaming-wise. And I'm not sure what's in store for next year as far as... The Destiny community hates Bungie right now. At least the Reddit Destiny community hates Bungie right now.
Yeah, but the Reddit community usually hates, you know, any given thing.
Not necessarily where it's Destiny concerned, man. They're all over this game, and they still like to go out there and find secrets and everything else, but they've really turned on Bungie. And I actually don't blame them for it either.
Yeah.
I really, really don't. So, is there anything you guys can think of that you remember from this past year that was like a really big shock surprise thing as far as games were concerned?
I barely remember last Tuesday, so I'm going to go with no.
What's your most favorite game that you played this year?
That would have to be Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Because you were able to play it with
Kevin.
Somebody? Yeah.
Having that experience of running through that whole game with Kevin was fantastic, and I can't wait for us to finish out, and because the Predator is going on right now, and I want to kill the Predator.
Is that a timed event?
It is. I believe it stops...
Comes and goes? Or?
Well, I think it stops in a couple weeks.
Okay.
So, but yeah, that for me was one of my favorite experiences. The game itself is, you know, I mean, it's fun, it's Ghost Recon, whatever, but playing with Kevin and just the wackiness that was had, that I really like.
Sarah, do you have anything that you enjoy? What was
Destiny 2.
Favorite of the year would be Destiny 2.
Yeah.
A lot of people have that on their list, but a lot of people have like an asterisk next to it.
See, I don't have any of the problems anybody else does, so I can love it with a pure love.
I'm not spending money at the Eververse store. I'm not.
Yeah.
But the shape of my gameplay is changing because of that, because they are changing the shape of your gameplay because they want to direct you more to the Eververse store. And that's shown with just these two engrams we're getting for this event. This seasonal event, they're giving us two per account, and I really have a problem with that. But not only that, but that whole situation with the XP debacle where they kind of kept that hidden, while it didn't, again, affect me because... God knows, I don't care about the Bright Ingrams as much as I care about giving me
weapons,
the other Ingrams,
and
weapons and armor and things. It's still a situation of deceit where it's like, okay, you're hiding this, and that's XP. How much are you hiding?
I have a tendency to think the best of people, which is astonishing.
But the mistakes keep happening.
They do. But I also play Destiny very differently from a lot of people. I'm nowhere near... I'm not even level 300.
Okay.
So I'm really not worried about it.
That's true.
You know, and I never broke 300 on Destiny 1 because I was out of it for so long. So I'm looking for a very different thing in my games.
Yeah. RJ, what about you?
Same here. Playing a lot of... putting a lot of time into Destiny 2 more than anything else. And like Sarah, not having any issue with real with the missteps that Bungie's taking. I'm just getting it for the loot, man. It's like Borderlands. You play the game for like fun with friends and just collecting loot and see what you can pick up.
That's There's RJ's back of the box comment. I'm just in it for the loot, man. For mine, it really has to be the amount of time and dedication I put into it has to go into Destiny 2 for that one. But really, if I can not look at the time and just look at the amount of wows and this is amazing and I can't believe what's in store here, it's got to go to Odyssey because I have yet to play Zelda, so it's got to go to Super Mario Odyssey for that. Anyway, that is going to do it for us. Thank you so much for a fantastic year, everybody who joined us in the chat room and listening on the stream and on the radio. Thanks to everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. We appreciate it. Head over to ingamechat.net. Join us on Twitter, join us on Facebook, join us on Steam, join us on all those things. Discord, we've got a group there as well. So, thank you, everyone. Have a fantastic new year. I hope 2018 is the best for you. And we will see you next Saturday. This track is called The Union. It represents Mercury. It's in the key of D. See you next year.